good luck.
Thanks, Tiberius. I wondered what you were going to say in your introduction, because I don't remember submitting a kind of a speaker bio. And after listening to all of the brilliant talks so far this morning, I'm feeling really inadequate because I can't claim to have spent months and months of time analyzing Google Scholar data and trying to break its black box, nor can I claim to be a jazz pianist. So yeah, it's great to be here and amongst so many other fabulous speakers and presenters. Thanks very much for inviting me back. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the progress that Wiley, as a publisher, has been making towards a future where open access and open research more broadly are the norm for scholarly research. And in progressing towards a more open future as publishers, we have a need to ensure that we're meeting the needs, the expectations, and the requirements of our customers and our partners. And for us, that constituent group includes researchers, the authors and the editors who choose to publish their research outputs in Wiley journals, the learned societies and associations who trust us, who trust Wiley as publishers, to publish their journals and to help them to be financially sustainable, and the librarians and the funders who need to support the needs of their own constituents whilst also managing increasingly complex budgetary challenges. Earlier this week, actually, no, last week, I was at a meeting in Windsor where Lorraine Estelle and Alicia Wise from Information Power spoke very eloquently about a really nice piece of work that they had been supported in completing on behalf or with the support of the Wellcome Trust, with UKRI and with ALPSP to look at ways that society publishers could make the transition towards open access. And if you haven't seen or had chance yet to see the toolkit and the documentation that they produce, I really encourage you to seek it out. It's on the Information Power website. You can find it on Figshare. I encourage you to take a look at it. Their work highlighted, I think, 27 different models of open access, or 27 different models and strategies to enable the transition towards open access. And at Wiley, our focus is not on all 27 of those, it's very firmly on three of them. I'm going to talk about those three now. So the first one for us has been the launch of new open access journals. Back in 2011, I think it was, we launched our very first gold open access journal, or our first two gold open access journals. And today we publish just over 120 fully open access titles, with more journals in development all the time. And those are journals that address a range of different subject disciplines. They started out very firmly rooted in subject areas in the life sciences and the biomedical sciences, because those were the subject areas that we saw, the communities that we saw kind of making the first steps to embrace open access. But our program of journals, or our portfolio of journals, now consists of titles in the geography, or for the geography community, for the engineering community, for chemistry, and for material science. So it really spans a very wide range of subject disciplines and communities. And to touch briefly on the topic of impact, much discussed already this morning and much discussed at pretty much every scholarly publishing and academic research meeting. Those journals address different areas or provide publication outlets for different types of research communication. So they publish content at all levels of impact and selectivity. There are some highly selective journals which publish maybe 20 or 40 papers a year, and some much broader scope, much more, I guess I would say, author-friendly journals that look very deliberately, look to publish, look for reasons to accept articles for publication rather than for reasons to reject them. Many of those journals or many of those launches have been developed by us in partnership with the learned societies that we publish on behalf of. In many cases, as a way for those societies and associations to explore the open access publishing environment, to offer their authors and their constituents the option to publish within an open access journal, and to explore the revenue generating possibilities that an open access journal can deliver for them. The second model that we use is the flipping or the transitioning of journals to open access. So these are journals that started life as subscription journals, migrated to offer hybrid open access, and have now transitioned to become fully gold open access journals. Again, at a meeting last week, there was an interesting conversation about what constitutes a journal flip. Someone gave an example of a journal that had transitioned from a subscription model to an open access model, but in the process of doing so had changed its name, had changed its editorial board, had in some respects become a different journal. From our perspective, the journals that we've transitioned to open access have all retained the same selection criteria, the same editorial focus, the same aims and scope, and the same editors and editorial board. And we found it's really important when deciding which journals or making decisions about which journals will be sustainable in an open access world and can make this transition, to make sure that we're bringing the subject communities that those journals represent along with us. To date, we've flipped, I think, 25 journals from the old subscription model to the full open access model. We've flipped another 15 journals in partnership with Hindawi, the open access publisher, which many of you will have heard of. And we have more in the pipeline for next year and beyond. And the third model for us is about transitioning the market, otherwise known as transitional agreements. Agreements such as the one that we entered into here in Hungary earlier this year, and I think there's going to be a talk later this afternoon about how successful that has been, what the learning points have been as a result of that and other agreements here in Hungary. So I'm not going to talk very much about launching new titles and flipping journals to open access, because I think those are, I hope that those are fairly well-known and understood models. I'm going to focus my time this morning on the third model, on transitional agreements as a route to transitioning the market to greater open access. So these are agreements that publishers, including Wiley, are entering into with library consortia, and they're designed to make open access a viable choice for authors across a whole range of subject areas. They're not specific to journals, they're applicable to all of the journals published in the Wiley portfolio, and they allow authors in countries where these agreements are in place to choose to publish under an open access model and to have any APCs associated with the journal that they've chosen to publish in covered by the agreement, covered centrally by the consortia. So, as I mentioned, Wiley is a global publisher. We publish around 1,600 journals, and we publish research from authors all around the world. This chart, which is not the most optimally labeled, and might be a little bit difficult for you at the back to see, shows the distribution of corresponding authors for articles that we published in 2018. And as you may expect, you can see that a large proportion of our research output or our article output came from the United States, from China, from the UK, from Germany, and then from Japan, Australia, and Canada. Each of these countries, not just the ones that I've mentioned, but all the countries that you can see represented here, have their own policies and their own practices when it comes to open access. They have their own funders who also have their own policies and practices with regards to open access, and each of them are at a very different stage, or some of them are at a very different stage of their open access journey. And our discussions with each of these countries, with the consortia in each of these countries, have been quite different. So resolutions at a national level are driving the negotiations that are taking place between Wiley and other publishers and national consortia. Paul referenced Plan S at the start of the day. Plan S has certainly added some more momentum to the conversations that we're having at a national level with consortia. It's added a kind of time element to the discussion. But we can see, or we have certainly seen, that demand remains unevenly distributed around the world. Demand to drive towards open access remains unevenly distributed, and priorities continue to differ. I've realized that I'm going to be going a little bit over time, so I'm going to try to not fast forward too much. So this next slide gives you an illustration of the countries that Wiley has entered into these country level, these transitional level agreements with. In 2015, we entered into a very early agreement with the United Kingdom for which includes a kind of, which is an offsetting agreement under which institutions earn credits. That agreement is coming to the end, or is at the end of its life, and there are discussions, very active discussions underway about what the future of a Wiley UK agreement might be. In the Netherlands in 2016, we entered into a transitional agreement, and then in 2018 and 19, that activity really escalated with agreements for us in Austria, in Hungary, Norway, and of course Germany with Project Deal. Just to give you an idea of what's happening elsewhere in the world, so on the last slide, we saw quite a substantial amount of our output starting to shift to open access. But if we look ahead and think about the countries that are expressing a strong interest in transitional agreements, we start to see much more of the pie chart changing color, more output shifting towards open access, more authors with the opportunity to make their research open. What we have found in our discussions with countries so far is that there is no single model that works for each country. One size or one type of transitional agreement does not fit all, does not fit each country's priorities, doesn't fit each country's immediate objectives or indeed funding. In Germany, we've entered into the landmark agreement with Project Deal, which allows for a full and immediate transition to open access under the so-called publish and read approach. Here in Norway and in Hungary, there's a stepped transition where investment from the library consortia migrates from a reading element to a publishing element. And although it's early days in the US, we're starting to enter into agreements, for example, in Ohio and in Virginia, with library consortia who are interested in exploring the open access publishing decisions that their faculty make and are starting to establish centralized open access funds for them. Wiley's not the only publisher offering these kinds of agreements. The next couple of slides from the Max Planck Digital Library give you an indication of how their agreements with other publishers have changed over the last few years. So in 2017, they had four transitional agreements in place with the publishers shown in green, with Springer, with IOP, with the Royal Society of Chemistry, and with Taylor and Francis. And in 2019, much more of their agreements, or many more of their agreements, are now classed as transitional. So, what's happening beyond open access? I know we're at an open science or an open research meeting, so I just wanted to finish by briefly saying that open science is more than just open access. One of the speakers earlier today spoke about the different pillars of open science or open research. And in Wiley, we think about those open pillars around these headings: open access, open data, open practices, collaboration, and recognition and reward. And because it is peer review week, as well as Open Science Conference Day here in Hungary, I wanted to draw your attention to something that I spoke very, very briefly about last year. So this time last year, we announced the first scalable, transparent peer review initiative on a journal called Clinical Genetics. This was developed and delivered in partnership with Clarivate Analytics, so with Publons and with Scholar One Manuscripts. And we started this initiative with a single title, as I said, about a year ago. At the beginning of the year, we extended this initiative to 10 journals. And those 10 journals offer authors the option to opt in to a transparent peer review workflow. So they have the option to say yes to the reviews, the reviewer comments being published alongside their article once it's published, and alongside the editor's comments and the editor's decision. Later this week, we'll publish a blog, which I encourage you to look at. If you follow the Wiley in Research Twitter feed, you'll find a post about this later this week, and it will give you all of the information about the findings or the latest results from those 10 journals. And just to say, it's been a very positive experience, or we found it's been a very positive experience for authors. 87% of authors publishing in those journals have chosen the transparent peer review workflow, and we, as a result of that, expect to add another 30 or so journals by the end of this year. I'm reliably told by Tiberius that I am out of time. So just to conclude, Wiley is firmly on the road towards open, or the road to open open access of research articles and to greater openness and transparency in the scholarly publishing lifecycle. We've made some really, really great progress over the last 12 months, and I look forward to coming back next year to tell you about even more progress, or the even greater progress that we've made in the next 12 months. Thanks very much for listening. I'm happy to answer any questions during the lunch break. Thank you very much, Kathleen.